Individual therapy can be such a rewarding process. Unfortunately, a lot of people reject it because they're afraid of the unknown. I am Naya B, therapist, author, speaker, educator, and influencer, and I welcome you to do individual therapy with me. Take this journey and listen as unfiltered and unscripted brave souls heal and share their stuck points. My hope is that someone listening can relate to their stories and get a perspective on how real therapy takes place. Who knows? Maybe one day decide to get some therapy of their own. But when you do, though, just come do it with me, Naya B. What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Naya B. Welcome back for another session of Doing It With Naya B. Season 3 has been popping. You guys know I've been talking to a lot of men about vulnerability, and today's guest is my good friend, Joe. Joe's in law enforcement. What's up, Joe?
What up?
How are you?
I'm good. Maintaining, you know.
Well, it's good to see you. Good to see you. So tell me what your definition of vulnerability is.
Oh, wow. Allowing someone or something in.
Okay.
Being accessible.
All right. Okay. When was the last time you were accessible?
Ooh, back in my day. Oh no. You know, it's not something I really practice, being that accessible. I don't know. I couldn't even tell you the last time I think I was, vulnerable. I believe I'm probably vulnerable to the people around me that I love, that know me.
Okay.
And that's unconsciously. But just to put a blanket answer on it, I have no idea.
Okay. Now, is it easy for you to be vulnerable, or has that been a challenge?
It's probably always been a challenge. You know, speaking from a African-American perspective, is very difficult just to be vulnerable. We're not raised that way. We're not raised to, we look at vulnerabilities a lot of times as signs of weakness.
Okay.
And we raise our daughters and we raise our sons in that manner. So no, it's not easy.
When you say we weren't raised that way, give me an example of how you weren't raised to be vulnerable, and maybe another example of how you didn't teach your children to be vulnerable.
Well, I grew up in the projects of Chicago, and it just was not a good thing to be vulnerable. It was like basically a concrete jungle. So showing vulnerability down there is definitely was showing weakness. And you could not walk around with that weakness showing, because it will be noticed.
I will say that growing up in areas where you kind of have to watch your back, in a sense, it's a little different, you know, versus other areas where you may feel safe. Now, of course, when you started to become a parent, I'm guessing, you know, the environment was a little different. So tell me about raising your child and how that, you know, and maybe the vulnerability there.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, that little girl who's now a young lady, that is probably the one person that can just hurt my little feelings off a sentence.
Oh.
So that's the one person that I knew that I was vulnerable for, just out of the womb, straight out. Raising her and being a part of her life was definitely difficult as far as juggling, because she had her she has her challenges as far as I don't want to use the correct term. She's socially delayed. She's high functioning, but I had to reinvent myself around her as far as understanding, you know, hey, this person is a part of me and came from me.
Okay. Now, but how did you teach her to be vulnerable even with those delays? Because that would be a challenge.
You know what? I didn't. I always treat her like, you know, like she a little female soldier.
Okay.
If her mother probably has shown her some type of, you know, vulnerability, but she's a little tough too. So I don't know. But no, I just kind of never looked at it as, hey, I'm showing her vulnerability. I just know that I'm accessible if she needs me.
Okay.
And if she wants something. And to me, that's a vulnerability to me because I'm not always accessible to anyone.
Okay. Okay. So when people can access you, that's your way of saying, hey, I'm open to you.
Yes.
Okay. Because
if I don't want you around, if I don't want you a part of my space, you won't be there.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah,
that's good
to know. You won't be there.
All right. Now, do you think these days, of course, with family outside of your daughter, family or even coworkers, the vulnerability looks different? Does accessibility look different for them?
I believe it does. And, you know, especially in my field, law enforcement is, it's a whole different breed, you know, and, you know, people look at us as though we're not supposed to be vulnerable, but yet we're supposed to understand. So it's like, you know, you literally have to battle with that on a daily basis. And most people in law enforcement have a weird sense of humor. And that sense of humor comes from vulnerability because the things that you've seen and experienced, you have to channel that in a way that is not affecting you daily or minute or hourly. Because the next call is the next moment. So you don't have time to be sitting there wooing about something that you just saw maybe 5-10 minutes ago. You got to be ready and focused on the next thing because there's a sense of urgency and your life is dependent upon it. So, but amongst other people on the job, you're allowed to be vulnerable for a moment. After that, hey, all right, let's go get something to eat or crack like a little punk. You know,
yeah.
We got to do, you know, it's like you need those little snap distractions to get you out of the sucking place because it can go real quick.
Mm-hmm.
As far as dealing with others, like just random.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I look at it as not necessarily a vulnerability, more of a compassion for people. And the problem with it is I've been in law enforcement 15 years now, it's hard to turn that compassion on and off because you're looking at a lot of situations like there's a terror of motives. Like, you know, so what are you about to do? Or what did you do? You analyzing everything.
Mm-hmm.
This is all happening. Even as you speak to someone or see someone, you know, you can see someone like, oh, okay, that person needs help. But do they need help?
Mm. Yeah, like, right.
I don't know.
It makes you more skeptical a little bit.
Yeah. They might stab me in the neck as soon as I walk away. And I, you know, so you really overanalyze in a lot of the different situations. So, yeah, I know. You know, that answer the question.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It sounds like The more you get to know people, the better it is for you, right? Because then you can determine like, hey, can this person access me? You know, like you can know your coworkers and know them to that capacity, but it's different because you're not inviting them into your personal space in a sense, but you're creating a space that is appropriate for the field that you're in. But then like
exactly.
Random people who, you know, may or may not, I would say to be aware of them is one thing and to know them is something else. And so you can be aware of a person and just say, okay, let me ask myself, is this genuine or is it not? Because you still have to be on guard in some form of fashion. So vulnerability is going to look different with just even sometimes family members, right? Because
exactly.
You don't know what their intentions are. So even though it makes you skeptical, and I think that's where they say knowledge is power, but also to be in a constant state of awareness means that you're not really settled because you're always asking like, what is this about?
Your wheels are always turning.
Yes.
Your wheels are always turning. Yeah.
I see that a lot. Just me being in this field. I just, sometimes I can have compassion, right? Because I'm like, okay, I'm a therapist. So clearly I want to be able to meet people where they are, understand, like I can understand, but sometimes I don't care. Right. So it's like, I understand you, but I don't care because if I start to care, that's a whole different ballgame. You're going
to
want me out your business once
level,
I start
you
caring.
You have to have a level of cutoff. You're like your
yes.
cutoff game has to be good because you're processing. And it's like law enforcement therapists really have to deal with it as well because you're being a channel of this person's energy For however much time you're spending with that person. So you're bringing all that, you're bringing it all in. And at a certain point, that you being that vessel, it gets full. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a good cutoff game, which is could be to your detriment as well, but if you don't have a good cutoff game, then now you're just held down with all this stuff that this person just put on you. And so you have to be able to just, you know what? All right, bam, that's gone, all to the next one, which can desensitize you in a sense, you know, and as far as dealing with everyday people, because, you know, again, that cutoff game gets real quick and, you know, you're trying to differentiate. Okay, so is this person, what is this person doing? All right. You try not to analyze a person when you're off the clock, but it's like, does it cut off? Because, mm-hmm. you know, they say one or two things, you're like, you know what, you're a narcissist.
Look, because I know what a narcissist really is, that is not my go-to for everybody. Some people just assholes. And then there's some people who just lack empathy, who don't understand. So I don't use that term all the time. You know, I think sociopath is probably more common than narcissism. So there are more people out here who want to see you in pain than there are people who just want to fool you. So, yeah. So I think sociopath is probably way more common. How does the cutoff, I guess, for you work, even in romantic relationships? Because you got to be vulnerable on some level to let a romantic partner in. Because caring for you is important, especially in this field.
It's difficult. It's difficult because, you know, people that don't really understand or understand me, they don't realize that if I really didn't want you here, you wouldn't be here. So for me, it's kind of like, I allowed you in my space. That's the first thing.
Because accessibility, you know, is how you show vulnerability.
I allowed you here, you know. We could be here and this could be my cancer trait, you know. You can sit right there and I can sit right here. It's okay.
But you're here, right?
But you're here.
Your love language is accessibility.
Yeah. I'll let you, you know, you're here. You know. So it's difficult, you know. I it's been a long road for me, you know. I did like I said, I grew up in the projects. I left the projects. I went to the military. I went to the Marine Corps. Left the Marine Corps, worked for a little bit, then I was in law enforcement for 15 years. So it's difficult, you know. But I always generally say that if you're generally interested or generally care about a person, that you'll wait and you'll just really just try to understand them. You won't try to put them in a box and say, well, you don't do this and you. What is this person? What are you? Okay. So are you accepting of me or are you accepting what you think I should be or what everyone else is doing? Because if that's the case, you're not going to have any success with me. Mm-hmm. Not at all. You're going to be like, he's an asshole. He doesn't let anybody in. No, I let you in because you was even around me in the first place. Because mm-hmm. now I'm checking you out the whole time. So mm-hmm. I'm checking you out this whole time and I'm deciding, okay, all right, this person seems genuine. It seemed like they cool. I give you a moment. You know what I'm saying? I give you a minute to, you know, and I, is it always about you or, you know, or not, you know, because if it's, you don't get a lot of time with that. So if I have limited time and I'm giving you limited availability and it's always about you, you're always complaining about something or you always need something else. It's like, you know what? I don't need it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too much because you've already weighed in on a daily life, you know, so, and trying to get out of your own way. So I can, you know, put anybody else's shit on me all at once, you know, so just like, yeah, you know, who takes care of the person that takes care of the people?
Right. I tell people all the time, like when you really truly get to know a person and like, and you learn some of the details that you just shared in regards to growing up in the projects, having been, you know, in the Marines, having been in law enforcement for 15 years, being a father, all those type of things, right? Obviously, you are a busy man, right? A busy man and a protector of his own emotions as well as everybody else's, right? So mm-hmm.
Very protective, yeah.
When a man like that gives you his time, that's the most valuable thing he can give, right? So then you have to start figuring out, like, how do I make the best of this time and preserve it as opposed to looking at, you know, how I would do things. You know, I tell people all the time, love is a mixture of intimacy and care, meaning I care for you and I want to be close to you. So how do we be close if we're never spending time, if we're never talking? So when a busy person who has his own trauma, is allowing mm-hmm. himself to be accessible and to be, that's a big deal. And I don't think a lot of people recognize that. I think some people take that for granted or take that lightly, which is not to be taken lightly, because here's the thing. If you want more, at least get your foot in the door. At least get your foot in the door and recognize like, okay, we see each other maybe once a week, but we talk every day, but I recognize his schedule. I recognize he's been through a lot. Let's figure out what's next. But people are so concerned about themselves and how they do things. And I think it goes back to what you said about putting people in a box where it's like, but if he cares, then he'll do this. But that's their definition, not the definition for Joe. Not what does it look like for Joe? What does it look like when Joe give a damn? What does it look like when Joe wants to be around you, you know? And I tell people to consider that. Look at what it's like for the person you're sitting across from, not your definition of what a man should be doing or what somebody who wants you should be doing, or because a busy person with some trauma could be doing so many different things.
So many different things.
So many different things.
It's definitely not what you've seen on TV or what you've read in some Hallmark book or a card or something. It's definitely individualized, because what I learned is the most important thing I can take from a person, it don't have to be monetary, it don't have to be anything, is me. I can take me away. That's the biggest payback, and that's the biggest self-gratification. Okay, you know what? You're right. I'm gonna take me away. I mean, you take me out this equation. And that's friends, family, coworkers, it's anybody. Because when you have people out here that's got their own thing going on in their head or been through situations, and you constantly complaining about something, it's not the best way. It's not the best way to deal with that person, because that person is like, you know what? I'm going to look through my phone and I'm going to see how often you've reached out or how often I've reached out. And is this something worth hanging on to or not? Mm-hmm. And if you start to say, well, you know what? If I don't reach out to that person, I don't talk to them. Well, guess what? All right, I'm good. That's another one gone. Reason and season, you know? So you're exactly right on that one, you know? And you always have to do a little self-check yourself, because you want to say, okay, am I being too difficult? Okay, so here's another case. So let me give you a little bit more accessibility. Maybe I'm being too difficult. Let me mm-hmm. bring it down a little bit. And then at that point, the worst thing you can do is disappoint them. You're like, damn it, I knew I shouldn't have sat over there with you and ate popcorn. I could have been washing my car.
That is hilarious.
Happy with it.
But isn't that what life's about? It's about trial and error, right? In order for you to learn, you have to be able to go through those disappointing moments to say, okay, I tried that, it did not work. And now you know going forward. I recognize I'm pretty old school still when it comes to how I tend to connect with people, right? Men primarily. So I do expect a little bit of courtship. Like I expect him to, hey, you know, to call, to reach out, to talk. And I will match, like I'll show the interest too, but I'm not going to lead this. Like, I don't believe in the chasing or the shooting my shot. Like, I don't believe in that. Right. So I know it's 2023 and, you know, men are like, hey, we like attention too. We like it when women try to holler at us. I'm not that one. You're going to be waiting on me. You're going to be waiting on me to do it.
Oh, no. A lot of them real moist.
I don't know. They're going to be waiting on me, because I think that I think relationships work out better when men are making the choice. When they're choosing. So I don't know. I'm still old school in that. And I think it takes a little bit. I think it takes a little bit of vulnerability though, for a guy to pursue. I do think that cause you guys take the chance of being rejected and being told no. And, you know,
daily.
Yeah.
Hourly.
So it takes a little bit of motivation, right? It takes some vulnerability and motivation to be able to say, I'm gonna go ahead and see what happened. Cause she could be like, hell no, you know, but I'm gonna go ahead and make this approach. And so when he does that, you know, and it's like, oh, it's received. That to me, that says a lot when it's genuine. Cause there's some people who just want some ass. And then there's other people who actually like are interested and really want to get to know you. So I can tell the difference in the approach.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing with that though, is today's guys, they're a little bit too in touch with themselves. Cause I'd be sitting there checking out some of these cats. I'd be like, dude, you really stay in the mirror more than she does. Like you pampering yourself more than a woman. Like they're way too emotional. These guys today, they're way way too emotional, way too self-absorbed, as far as or in tune with their feelings. It's like, dude, it's like the straight opposite of what I grew up with. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, and you just see it daily. Like young men today don't know how to deal with their emotions.
Right.
They cannot deal with their emotions at all. They don't know what to do with themselves. They're like, she doesn't like me. Oh my God. No, wait a dude. It's going to be a million people that don't like you, you know, relax, mm-hmm. you know, or they literally don't know how to deal with rejection. So they won't walk up and say anything. They'll sit back and wait for someone to say, it's like, are you really kidding me, dog? You're really kidding me right now. Like who goes to a function, a social function, and just stands there with another dude? Like, yeah, I'm not walking up to her. Excuse me?
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, you have to, it's like, it's the, that whole social dynamic is just all over the place. I just sit back and I don't understand. And then they sit back and look at, oh, so I'm officially old school now. And they're like, man, oh, you just talk that. Yeah. I'm going to talk to people.
Yeah.
As non-vulnerable as I may want to be, as far as, allowing a person necessarily in, I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna talk to people and be sociable. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna allow you to dictate how far I want to let you in, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It could be surface, that's fine, but I'm not gonna be somewhere and just be standing there looking. And I don't understand these people. I don't understand dudes.
Where do you think that comes from? How do you think that changed over time? Because like there was a shift, like it seems like at some point, I know in the 90s and even in 2000s, people, early 2000s, people were still coming up. Hey, you look really pretty. Or can I have your phone number? Or just making conversation and seeing where it goes. And then before you walk away from each other, it's like, oh, you know, do you mind if I give you a call? Or, you know, so I think that at some point it shifted. When do you think that shifted from your perspective?
What happened? I think it happened when, you know, it's like generationally, you know, a lot of these young boys are coddled, and I can only speak from Black perspective. We raise our boys to be, lately, like as of late, they seem like they raise these boys to, and they coddle them and they pamper them, and then they're tough on their girls. Mm. And then especially if you throw in the single parent dynamic. So if you got a mama by herself and she's raising a child and she has a boy and a girl. She's going to be tough on that girl. She'll be tough on that girl. And then she coddles this boy for some reason. And I don't understand, you know. And if he doesn't have a male figure in his life telling him no, or what he should be doing or shouldn't be doing, then what happens is he thinks that's the way it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm supposed to be taken care of. So then you put that with the aspect of, you know, you have Black women and women out here today that are excelling. They're excelling career-wise, they're excelling, and through all the punches in the face, they're like, you know what? That's okay. I got this. They're getting master's degrees, doctors. They're doing very well on their own, private business, private practices. They're doing the damn thing, because we raise our girls to be self-sufficient and to be able to take care of themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, that comes from years of not being that person and being taken advantage of. So now we're pushing our women to be more and more independent. And as a challenge, it's become the actual reverse. Mm-hmm. So now we have men out here that's not motivated, not pushing themselves to excel. And then you have women that are pushing themselves to excel. And it's, the roles are reversing.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you're getting all this old, well, we need to be splitting the bill, and you know.
Yeah, this whole what you bring into the table, because I'm the prize, and I'm the. Yeah. And it's obvious. Yes, I totally agree with you that on some level, these moms, especially Black moms, I've seen them coddle their sons, you know, to a point where they won't even make their sons take out the trash, or they won't make their sons make the bed, or that they do everything for the sons. They have to. They do their laundry. They make sure they're cooking. So these boys grow up and they don't have life skills, let alone social skills. They don't have life skills. So what they do is they go get a woman who mimics their mom, you know, and then they have this false idea of what leadership is. And so leadership begins to be replaced with control, because there takes a level of vulnerability to say, I don't really know how to wash my clothes. Let me learn. Or I don't really know how to, cook my own food. Let me learn. So then you start making all these requirements for these women that are like, these are things you should be able to do for yourself. So now a woman who can provide for herself is a threat because she can cook. Exactly. She can clean.
Now you're intimidated.
Right.
I've never met a woman that intimidated me. Like, excuse me? Like, intimidated? Like, I don't even understand that. What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, it's just the basic things, you know, and just basic as in, hey, get out and pump the car, pump the gas. Okay, I paid for it. You pump the gas. You know what I'm saying? Why are you? I've seen people, you walk in and she's carrying the bags and he's just walking. What the hell? Like, I don't understand. Like, you walking your ass on the inside of the sidewalk. And I saw, that's crazy. I saw someone yesterday. I was in the store, I was in Lowe's, and this couple, I'm gonna assume they were a couple, but they were holding hands and she was pulling this man around the store. I got so irritated. I'm looking like, I was on the phone with a family. What the fuck? You know what I'm saying? what the hell? Like, what are you doing? Like, she literally, I said, ain't no way in the world. And this is, please don't come off, I don't just come off chauvinist, but you're not going to hold my hand to guide me through some goddamn storm. No. If you know where the stuff is and you're going, okay, I'll follow you or I'll walk next to you. You know what I'm saying? You, even if you're walking faster than me, that's fine. You're not about to be pulling me through no store like I'm no toddler. Mm-hmm. And he just seemed like he was all right with it. No. And that's that right there. And then what happens is she breaks up with him. He loses his fucking mind. Cause
yeah, he's used to his hand being held. Now. Shit. That's what it's about. Yes.
So something as simple as that, it's just, yeah. So now they're just, I think today they're just way too vulnerable. They're way too emotional.
I think you don't know something, it creates a huge space of insecurity, right? Because we build confidence by learning, right? We build confidence by doing, by trial and error, like, oh, we messed that up, but we tried it again. We got it right. Okay, boom. Now we know what we did, right? So there's confidence building. But when moms will take away that child's ability to learn, they never build that confidence. So by the time they have to learn, because life don't care if you know it or not. Right. Because once you're an adult and you out here in the world, they don't care if you know it or not. They're going to eat you alive. And that lack of confidence of knowing gets lost. And now you're created this huge space, this huge hole of emptiness and insecurity. And so what do toddlers do when they don't know something? They have temper tantrums. Right. Mm-hmm. They're not emotionally mature. So when you take away a person's ability to learn, you create a space of emotional immaturity for them. So by the time these men have chronologically become 25, 30, they're still emotionally 2 and 3 because their parents stopped teaching them at 2 and 3. They didn't want them to fail. They didn't want them to know what failure felt like or missing the ball, dropping the ball felt like. No, I don't want him to be scared. No, I'm going to do it myself. I don't want him to mess it up. So I'm going to do it myself. But they don't realize the messing up is where they learn. And through mm-hmm. that is how they create emotional maturity. And if they never drop a ball, how will they know what it feels like to be disappointed? How will they know? And so the first disappointment is someone saying, "Nah, you can't have that." So what do toddlers do?
Yeah, they will. Everybody gets a trophy. No, everybody don't get a trophy.
Everybody don't get a trophy. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not now. Sometimes the answer is take your ass to sleep and go to bed. I'm not about to let you stay up all night because I don't want to hear your mouth. And so that's what a lot of Black parents will do. Well, I didn't do it because I didn't want him to hear his mouth. I ain't want to. You're going to have to hear his mouth. That's just what it's going to be. And he's going to have to be okay. And so when you got a culture of parents that's like, I ain't do it because I ain't want to hear their mouth. Well, now you're ruining their ability to be vulnerable in a healthy way. And you're mm-hmm. ruining their ability to learn. You're failing them. You're not helping them by avoiding the conflict of hearing their mouth. Because there's a thing about men, for one, that hormone, that Y chromosome, that's going to react very strongly anyway, because that's natural for them. So when you add disappointment to this natural ability to just be upset sometimes, or just this natural ability to feel slighted or defeated, you've now created a monster.
Yeah.
And here we are, because now he's killing women and he's smacking them up when they say no. He's chasing her down because she says she got a man. He doesn't know what it feels like to have to deal with discomfort, or to say, okay, well, she ain't feeling me. I am going to head over here because somebody going to be feeling me. Right. Yeah.
Their ego is so shallow. They're like, you know, I see cats and they be like, well, cause I have a lot of lady friends that are just friends that I listen to. And, you know, you got cats out here and they'll be like, I'm an alpha male. Well, motherfucker, if you're an alpha male, you ain't got to tell her.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gonna come, who you are is just gonna come out. You're gonna do things. You're gonna lead in a certain way that it will be respected and received. Because I don't know any woman. I've never met a woman that wanted to do every damn thing. I've never met one. And if I meet her, she didn't do it with me, or she didn't react that way with me, or she didn't do it around me. Because I don't understand. I've never, a woman will, she will do, she will learn, she will do it if she has to, because she will survive. And she will adapt.
Mm-hmm.
But she don't want to have to do it. So if someone comes along and is willing to take some of the, a little bit of that up off of her, she gonna melt. You'll be like, oh, damn, he took the garbage out of that thing. Oh my God, you hungry? You know what I'm saying? It doesn't require a whole lot. This is a little bit of common sense. And you say, well, you know what, dude? Hey, we're gonna go out get something to eat. All right, I know a place. What do you think about this? Now, we're not gonna battle about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm gonna give you a couple of suggestions. Figure out what your stomach is feeling like today, and then we're gonna make a decision. I'm not gonna go back and forth with you. No, because I guarantee when we get there, you're gonna be trying to eat what the hell I got. You didn't order. You ordered your own shit. No, you had your own shit. Don't be coming over here.
My
point being is that all this, you know, they don't. It's tough because it's either the here or here. Either they don't have it at all, or they're really, really overcompensating. So is that middle area is really difficult to be in, because you really have to take a step back out of yourself and say, well, you know what? All right, I'm being a little extreme here. I'm being a little bit too much there. So show me where is this middle area? You really have to learn that middle area. And oftentimes, too many of us are not trying to understand the middle area.
Mm-mm. No.
It's not the most difficult thing, but you have to get out of your own head and say, hey, I don't know it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have all the answers, and I can learn something from someone else. And that comes back to the vulnerability side.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was going to say that. Yeah.
Now, who is it that I can allow to see that? Because no one wants it taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, but you have to spend some time with yourself to understand that. And if you don't, you know, a lot of folks can't even be alone. They don't know what it's like to sit in a room by themselves.
Yeah, I agree. I agree totally. Well, I know what I've learned about you today is accessibility is definitely your way of saying, hey, I'm open. This is me. And it also sounds like it's important for you to have people in your life that understands that you can trust, that are not trying to change you, that are not trying to make you be anything that you're not. And I also learned that it's important for you to have your time and have your space, because you do have a lot going on, you know. So
yeah, it might even only be a minute.
Yeah.
Just give me a minute.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you could give any man out there some, or even a woman, I don't know, but any of my listeners, if you can give any of my listeners some tips on how to be more vulnerable, or how to pay attention to somebody else's level of vulnerability, what would you say?
I would tell them just, you know, shut up sometimes. Shut up and pay attention. It's really not that difficult, you know. Get out of your own face and space and just listen. If you listen to a person and then let them talk long enough, and this is good or bad, they'll tell you exactly who they are and what they are. You just got to listen. And then you got to pay attention to the fact that what you heard is what you actually heard.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's good and bad. You know, that you can take that on the good side, you take it on the bad side. But if you really just listen and just pay attention to what it is that you're looking at and listening to, and if it's not lining up, then you know that, okay, there's a problem there. So let me ask this, you know, and then you just decide, is this something I'm willing to put energy toward, or is it not? And if it's not, guess what? Exit, stay left, because that situation is just not for you. But if it is, and you're actually interested, and you're like, well, you know what, let me let me put the extra effort to ask the right questions or pay attention to the right things. And then maybe I can understand, well, why do you walk around like that when you first come in? Oh, it's because you need a minute. You got to get yourself together. Not just, oh, she's crazy. No, she might not be crazy. She just might need to get herself together for a minute. Mm-hmm. Or he might need to just, you know, you don't know what just happened. He probably, you know, he or she just saw something traumatic coming in the doors, or they boss just was in their ass about something. Just take a minute and get out of your own way and just allow yourself the grace to give someone else the grace of knowing, let me give him a second. Now, of course, you know, there's only going to be so many of them seconds you're going to give. You know
what I'm saying? But that's just, I feel like that's, there's a catch, but wait, there's more.
That's a whole other story on how long, you know, how much time. But that just tells how much you invest. Yeah. You decide how much you're going to be invested into this situation. And then when you're invested in it, you like a good investment, hey, you go all out for it.
All right. Y'all heard it from Joe. Shut up and pay attention. That's what he said. That was his advice, to be quiet and pay attention. And hey, vulnerability will work itself out. Thank you so much.
All this stuff is a business arrangement. These are all business decisions, you know.
Well, you already know people put too much emotion into business, and that's what ruins it, right? You already know that.
Right.
That's a whole other topic. This is
an investment. Am I losing on this investment, or am I gaining on this investment? Simple.
Well, I appreciate you. This is a great conversation. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Well, you guys know where to find me on Instagram at @author_Naya_B, on Facebook, Naya B. And I will catch you guys on the flip side. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.